Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for clothing us in our right mind. Thank you that we know who we are and who we belong to. Thank you for your right hand holding us all up, Lord God. Oh, we just come to say thank you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see a new day, Lord God. Another new day, and we say thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. We come to you with a humble heart and stretched out arms today and say, have your way in our lives today. Order our footsteps today. Lead and direct us in all truth today, and we say thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for all our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews, Lord God, all our relatives today. Didn't get a 911 call on last night. We say, oh, we come to bless your name today. Bless the Lord on my soul, everything in me will praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And forget not all your benefits, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. Benefit of peace, joy, love, compassion, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. Oh, we thank you for compassion that you have on each and every one of us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for our neighbors, Lord God. And we just come pleading the blood of Jesus over this line today to drive out every spirit that's not of the Holy Spirit and welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our neighborhoods today. And we say thank you. And we just bless your name today. We pray for our neighbors, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Order their footsteps and lead and direct them in all truth today, Lord God. And we just say thank you. We plead the blood over the atmosphere today in the name of Jesus to drive out the spirits in the atmosphere that's not of the Holy Spirit and welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. We say thank you. We thank you for the visionary of this line, Lord God, as he continuously to pour out to your people all over the land, Lord God. Pour back into him, Lord God. Strengthen his inner man, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, continue to keep your arms around the whole entire Matthew family, Lord God. My mom and dad Matthews, Lord God. Just keep them all, Lord God, from seen and unseen danger, seen and unseen sickness. And we say thank you, Lord. Dr. Wilkes and her entire family, cover and keep them, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. But this is a new day you allowed us to see, and we will rejoice. Hallelujah. In spite of what's going on around us, we still rejoice. We still raise our hand and say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we just bless your name today. Stir up the gift in your people on today, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We come to thank you that we have eyes to see today. We have the activity of our limbs today. We say thank you. We was able to wake up and get up. We say thank you. Some didn't have that, was a fortune to do that this morning, Lord God. But you allowed us to do it, and we say thank you. We plead the blood over every nursing home, every hospital, every assistant living today, Lord God. In every city, in every state, we say, have your way, Lord God. Do a new thing in them, through them, for them, around them, Lord God. Let the mother sitting in her child family today, Lord God. We say, continue to do a new thing in them, through them, for them, and around them, Lord God. Continue to strengthen her daughter, Lord God, with your strength, with your peace, with your joy, God. Oh, we come and say, thank you, Lord. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. But Father, we are nothing without you. We can do absolutely nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ to strengthen us. So we come to cast all our cares upon your shoulder today, because it's equipped to carry every burden and every weight in the name of Jesus. And we just come to say thank you. Oh, we just thank you, Lord God. We just love you, Lord God. We lift up the homeless all over the world today, Lord God. Cover them and keep them, Lord God. Open up doors for them that can no man close. Close doors that can no man open, God. In the name of Jesus, they still yet your children. Just because they're homeless, you ain't throw them away or gave them away, God. You still yet love them, God. So I thank you that your right hand continues to be holding up the homeless. We lift up all those in the penitentiaries on today, God. Cover and keep them, Lord God. The county jails today, God. Cover and keep them in perfect peace, God. Keep them from seen and unseen danger as well, God. Spare your children as well, God. You love us all equally. Might not love the sin, but you love us all equally. We say thank you for that kind of love and compassion, Lord God. And we just bless your name today, Father God. And we say, have your way this awesome Thursday, open forum, Lord God. We say thank you for speaking a word, sharing a word, Lord God, with them. Open up their ears to hear and their hearts to receive today, and we say thank you. But we just come to bless your name today for breakthroughs and not a breakdown. That we are better and not bitter. That we are the victor and no longer the victim. So have your way this awesome, amazing Thursday morning. In the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare your promise over God's children. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And we say thank you. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen. We love you, we need you, and we nothing without you. Have your way, Lord. Amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Amen.
Good morning, Mother Sydney.
Good morning, Mother Gwen. Good morning, Dr. Wilf. Good morning, Dr. Matthew, Administrator Brian. Good morning, good morning. I tell you, good morning, Holy Spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're at the top of the morning. Amen. It is Thursday morning. Ooh, glory to God. And it is open forum. Amen. Open, open. Hallelujah. Just like when doors have been closed and doors have been closed, it is open now. It is open. Amen. This is open forum. Amen. Where you could come to this form, to this place, to this line, to this space. Amen. To ask you a question of myself, Prophet Matthew, glory to God. Amen. And your praise report. Amen. A testimony that what God has done. Scripture, glory to God. God may have given you a word of knowledge. Amen. God may have given you, amen, glory to God. All you have to do on conference line is press star 6. Come right on in. Come on in. Come on in. Just come on in. Amen. And on the Blog Talk Radio side, God bless you. God bless you near and far. Glory to God. We welcome you here. Amen. And all you have to do is press 1 on your dial. And guess what? Minister Brian will bring you on into the queue. You can ask your question, your comment, praise, support, or word of knowledge. Amen. God has given you shout, go out. Amen. Amen to all of our nurses across the land. Amen, all of our doctors across the land, glory to God, those first responders, hallelujah, God bless you all, amen. Still another shout-out to the heart unit, amen, and St. Anthony's, glory to God, hallelujah. We know that we got a St. Anthony hospital all over the world, amen, but you know who you are. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, this is a good day, top of the morning, Prophet Matthew, glory to God. This is a good day. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I always try to just do as the Spirit of the Lord lead me to do at times. Amen. But when I listening to the prayer, glory to God, Mother Queen, amen. And you know, I hear this little video song, this little song, this song, amen. You know, I'll be hearing these old songs that the mothers, because I grew up around mothers, amen. And you know, it says something beautiful, something good. Through all of my confusion, he understood. And all I had to offer him was pain and brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. You might be at that place, glory to God, that you might be broken. You might have pain, glory to God. You might not even have any hope, glory to God. But guess what? Jesus will make something beautiful out of your life. Amen. He'll turn your ashes into beauty, and all you have to do is surrender. Surrender everything. Surrender all unto him on today. That's all you have to do. Amen. Once we realize, glory to God, that we have done things our way, glory to God, we have did whatever we want to do, when we want to do it. It was I will. Amen. But now it come a time where you say, well, I'm just so sick and tired of I'm sick and tired just being sick and tired. That life has to be better. Amen. There has to be something more that God has given me to do upon this earth. What is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my mark that I need to make upon this earth? What is the things that God have already preordained for me to do, amen, why I am sojourning here in this earth, amen, sojourning this temporary place, amen, because you know this world is not high, it's not your home, amen, amen, he'll turn your beauty into ashes, glory to God, that's that brokenness, because he made something beautiful out of my life. He made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. Glory to God. And he could do the same thing for you. Amen. And so you have a question or a comment for myself, Prophet Matthew, amen. Once again, glory to God. Cross put your line on the conference line. And That's one of your dials on the Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Glory to God. I think I heard someone.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Angel this morning. I want to say good morning to everyone. I would like you all to really hear my heart this morning. I got a scripture that came to me this morning, and throughout the night I was listening to Prophet LaRon. The Sunday message, I was listening to another message from several people in the ministry that preached. I was just listening to the word. And I was kind of like feeling some type of way. If y'all don't mind me being transparent, honest, and feeling the way I'm feeling. Please let me just really, really honestly be heartfelt just to talk to everyone. My makeup as I grew up, I never grew up in a structured environment. I was always confined against my own will. I was always put in an environment that was abusive, abrasive. I was always put in an environment that was unfair, unjust, an environment that made me feel inferior, an environment that made me, I want to say an environment where I got raped. I was in an environment that I didn't feel love until I got in the streets. I felt more love in the streets than I felt when I got to the church. Not everybody in the church didn't show love. There were people that did show love. There were people that didn't. But I asked God questions about his love all my life. And one thing about me, I always wanted to understand me as a person. I understand that I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and I believe a lot of people on here love God as well. But I love God deeply in my heart, and I'll do anything in my heart to serve the Lord, whether it's in the church or out of the church, no matter where it is. Wherever God wants to use me to be an influence to the world, or to the church, wherever he wants, wherever, whatever, what people call platform. I actually was feeling some type of way when I woke up this morning, and I was really disturbed. I said, Lord, why am I feeling this way? I was all happy and everything. I'm still happy, but I'm sad as well inside. And the scripture came to me, and the Lord gave it to me this morning. It's in King James. It was Luke 19:30. He said, saying, go into, it's Luke 19:30, saying, go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And there's another version that bring it to the Lord because the Lord hath need of him. And I thought about myself, and I said, Lord, if I back up from doing what I feel is my freedom to do, like encouraging people, prophesying, ministering, reaching out, loving people, if I back up from that, I'm still not happy. But if I be who I am or who I am, I'm happy. I'm free. And this morning, I don't know why I felt that way. It felt like I felt hurt. I see a lot of hurt. And I'm crying inside this morning. And I said, why am I feeling like this? And then, you know, I don't do everything right. I honestly don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't trained. It's too late for me to be trained because I'm young. I'm up in age. But I love Jesus. And I like my freedom. And this morning I said to myself, I said, you know, away with this ministry stuff. I'd rather just go on the street and do what I do best and still serve God. And I don't know why I felt like that. And I just wanted to say, you know, I love everybody. But I said, you know what? God, keep working on me. I'm not hating on nobody. I will never hate nobody. I want to love people, and I'm going to continue to love people because that's the way God changed my heart. I want to love everybody. But I asked God, when do we come together and love unconditionally, even when we see dirt, even when we see hurt, disappointments? I want everybody on here to know I love you. I don't care what you do wrong or what you do right. I'm going to love you. If I'm in the church or if I'm out of the church, I'm going to love you. I'm going to let God use me where I am. I like my freedom. I'm going to leave it right there. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. That was powerful. Thank you for sharing your heart. Amen. And that is so powerful because I feel your spirit. And I'm like, wow, God, there's something going on out there. Amen. That that feels our infirmities.
That's
amen.
It. Absolutely.
You feel in the heart of the people infirmity. And absolutely. I used to wonder why sometimes I would be in the kitchen or wherever I would be. Amen. And all of a sudden, my spirit, I would start whimpering inside. Amen. My spirit would start whimpering. I'm like, why am I crying? I don't feel like my soul is crying now. Amen. Glory to God. Most of the time, amen, I realized, even after I lost enough my husband, I knew and I know the difference, amen, of that loss and that hurt. But and I know the difference of when I'm whimpering for the affliction of people and feeling people feel those that are wounded and afflicted. And when you said that about agape love, I said, Lord, oh my God. I said, that's all I've ever been saying and trying to show, you know, that unconditional love. Amen. And I, Job 24 and 12 came into my spirit. And it says, he says, from the city, I'll do the NIV. It says, from the city, the King, it said, from the city, it said, men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded cried out, if thou lay not folly to them. And what came to mind was when men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded cried out. And when you mentioned about, how do I feel the way I feel? Amen. Glory to God. It's because it's the souls of so many people that have been wounded. Amen. And affliction that's going on in the world today, the affliction, amen. The men, lovers of themselves, and all of this entire chaos and sin everywhere, wars, rumors of war, people are hurting. You're feeling the hurt. Amen to the Oshiah, God, of the people, word to God. And it's something I'm so glad you shared that with us, woman of God. Amen, because it let us know and it let the people know that people of God, there are some people out there interceding for you and feeling your affliction and feeling your pain. And you wake up, well, I wonder why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling to God. And then we think back, glory to God, we think back, you know, over our lives. We think back in our childhood. And then I'm like, Lord to God, and it has nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Lord to God, because as I was listening, I said, Lord, I hear some similarity here. Amen. The similarity was great. I said, oh, my God. I said, okay. I said, that's awesome, Lord God. I said, through her hurt and through her pain, but yet, God, you delivered, you healed her, and you have her in place now as a voice. As a voice crying out in the wilderness. You're crying out in the wilderness for others. Amen. And many times, amen, glory to God. As I will always say, well, God has told me, he said many times, you're going to have to revisit the grave. Hey, glory to God. When I had to revisit the grave, when you have to revisit the grave, amen, you have to, you what is that word? It's something. You bring them up. It's a word that they use. Amen. And you bring that which is dead up. The others may be free. Mm-hmm. Yet when you're going back to the grave, not only is you physically going back to the grave, but under the Oshaya, but every emotion, everything that the Oshaya got that was dead and buried. Amen. Yeah. You expect you reliving this thing. Yeah. You reliving this thing. But not ask that little girl. I'm on Nidhi Oshaya, a glory to God, but as someone that has overcame, and that it was someone that's more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, someone that's victorious, but you got to go back to the grave sometime. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because God equipped you, because when you are strengthened, you have to go back and what? Strengthen our brother.
Mm-hmm.
And because of who we are, because God called us out, we are the call. Her prophet Matthew said, we the call.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Maybe don't shy you, God. When you are the call, glory to God, hey, your light never go out. You 20, mm-hmm. I let it don't shy you. You 24/7. It don't shy you when you the call, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You said, my mind's never busy. Maybe don't shy you, God. You said, I'm always available. I'm available. Mm-hmm. I'm available to you, God. Oh, glory to God. Even in God, when he isolates us, amen, glory to God, he set us aside. But for his use, amen, and I thought about it when he was speaking, I thought about Moses. Glory to God, how he set Moses aside. He hid him for a period of time. He hid him, amen. In his infancy, he hid him as a child in Pharaoh's house, and he grew up learning the ladder of things, the way of the world. Let's see the worldly system. He knew their system. Amen. He knew them. He grew close to them, and that was the plan of God, because God had to hide him, and yet he was hidden. Until it came to that time, and God said, now it's time for you to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like how Moses knew that he wasn't a brother. He saw his brethren being mistreated and killed an Egyptian slave, glory to God. Amen. Then he had to flee. He had to flee, glory to God, for his life. Glory to God. And then he had him out there in that wilderness, glory to God. He making him all that what was in him. The way of the Egyptian, amen. All of that unorthodox stuff, amen, that we grew up in. A dysfunctional family, amen, unstable. All of that stuff. Glory to God, had to come up out of us. And then the old God said, I have to take you through a wilderness period. Amen. Glory to God. To shed all of that. Amen. To make you all over, to make us all over again. Until that appointed time, he had Moses on the potter's wheel. He have us on the potter's wheel. I'm on Midio Shia, glory to God, until that time comes, glory to God, that now it's time for you to be on the stage and not in the pew and not in the audience. That's what he told Moses. That's what he's saying now. It's time for you to be on the stage, glory to God, because when you're on the stage, he said, I'm going to give you an area of view. He gave Moses an area of view every day. But he invited him up to the mountain. Invited him up to the mountain. Glory to God. But when he invited him up to the mountain and introduced himself to Moses, and glory to God, and Moses realized who he was, glory to God, and then that's that born again period for us. Glory to God.
That's good,
and we start becoming, amen, like him. We start hearing another voice, glory to God. Our inner ear, glory to God. Our eyesight, amen, spiritual, our hearing, glory to God. Our anatomy on the inside, it starts changing, amen, because then we start hearing the things of God. Then we start hearing the things that which is in the spiritual realm. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Then you start hearing the cry, hey, glory to God. Moses heard the cry. God heard the cry of his people first. Then he had to prepare Moses, glory to God, and Moses started hearing the cry himself. But yet he was still in himself, glory to God, when God appointed him. And so all that you said, glory to God, I tell you, God said, the time is now, glory to God, because he allowing you to feel what's going on in the world, even as the earth is travailing. The earth is trembling. The earth is travailing. The blood of innocent people is crying out. Amen. Those are yet still in sorrow. Those are yet that don't have no hope. Those people, amen, the Ukrainian people, some of those that were forced out in their home, forced out of their country, glory to God. There's nothing new up under the sun. A new era that we're in, glory to God. And that same era, amen, glory to God, some of the same things that happened in another era of our people that's happened to the Oshaya, God, right now, today. And you're hearing all of these cries. You're hearing all of these wailing. You're hearing all of the Oshaya, the blood that's under the Oshaya, the Amen of Amoshike, the innocent blood, the Amen of Amoshike that was shed, the Oshaya, God, crying out, glory to God, from the ground, crying out, Amen. And we're hearing all, you're hearing all of that. You're feeling that in your spirit. Amen. Glory to God. And it's just like the trumpet have sounded. The trumpet have been blown. And I'm the Oshaya. Thank you, Lord God. On yesterday at 12 noon, when Prophetess Peasley was blowing her shofar. And when she was blowing that shofar, and I'm listening, I said, that sounds like a repentant blow. And she kept blowing. And I said, Lord, that sounds like somebody crying out. It's like a sorrowful cry out to you, Lord. I said, this is what it sounds like. Amen.
Yeah.
And through texting, my goddaughter, she confirmed it from her. And then she confirmed it back on the line, said, yes, it was a repentance blow. I said, Lord, thank you. It was a repentance blow, and then you woke up early in the morning. The Oshaya, God, it was a big feeling. It's sorrowful in the land. People are crying out. Oshaya, something that is happening in the spiritual realm. Glory to God, and your spirit connected. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. I'm like, Lord, I said, now, I forgot we connected. Hey, glory to God.
And it's woman of God.
When you're able to connect with someone in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, because sometimes you feel so alone. You feel so alone.
Absolutely.
Glory to God. And sometimes, you know, it sounds like you're going crazy. I'm just being honest.
Yes.
I'm not the only one feeling this. People that you're talking to, they don't understand what you're saying. But I said, Lord, I need somebody to help me to understand this. Am I just the only one? Glory to God. And then when you just say, I said, just hear me. Glory to God. Just hear what the Lord is saying. Glory to God. And God bless you, woman of God. I'm telling you, my heart is just overjoyed.
Can I say this, too? When you mentioned the things that you were saying, I said, I would like for y'all to hear my heart. Because I really love this ministry. I love Prophet LaVon. I love the man of God. And we couldn't have anything better than the man of God that God has raised up in our midst. When I was listening at Sunday's message, and I said, you know, I even when he comes forth with correction, you can hear the love in his heart. I said, boy, he's fussing, but he loves us. I said, he sounds like a father now. I had to laugh. And then I said, boy, he's getting into us. And then I thought about it, and you know what came to me, what really bothered me more than anything? I thought about the scripture about Ezekiel. And I thought about it, the scripture that God gave me, and it came back to me this morning, and where it said, it was Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, where it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit. Now I said, Lord, I'm doing all this praying. I'm really seeking your face like never before. And I feel like I'm still in the whipping. And I'm like, and don't get me wrong, y'all. I have to laugh at this thing because this is like comedy on holy ground. You know? I'm laughing because, you know, God said, you came up with the scripture this morning when you were talking. You said God would give you beauty for ashes. I've been saying that scripture all week long. I kid you not. And I said, Lord, when you say you want to give us beauty for ashes, and I thought about it, I said, Lord, evidently something got to be burning up.
Amen.
And so I'm looking at the scripture, and I'm reading the scripture, where it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. Lord, in the midst of the valley. And I thought about it, this is not just a mountaintop experience. This is a valley experience, too, because we're going to get to know how God loves us on the mountaintop as well as in the valley. And then I was reading it, and it said, and it was full of bones. And I said, and I always asked God, why in the world are you going to take Ezekiel, your prophet, take him from where he was, carry him by the spirit? Now this thing, God, this happening has to be happening by the spirit. You're going to take the spirit, and place the spirit upon him, and carry him into a valley of dry bones with smelling, stinking, the graveyard. And then you talk about sometimes you got to go back and revisit the graveyard. Oh, yeah, all that stuff. And the prophet said before, last year was the year of obituary. The stock was buried. And I thought about it. I said, you know what, God? I mean, it's like sometimes you reminisce and you get these flashbacks. Yeah. Lord, have mercy. What is going on? And then it said, he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. This was the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. I say, God, I know good and well you ain't going to take me up all this way. You can't put me around all these dried up folks. But then, woman of God, this is what's amazing. And I told y'all, let me share my heart, because I'm trying my best to get this out this morning. I got to get this out. I'm sitting home the day before yesterday. I'm getting ready to go somewhere to the church and just, you know, the ministry, right? Just listening to the word, right? And I get this call about my brother in prison. And the lady said, my brother wanted to know when was his court date. I said, why he keep calling my phone woman? I said, he all in it, you know. And I asked her, okay, let me check it out. And then the girl started talking. And then the Spirit of God started prophesying through me. I didn't even know woman. I just was talking. And the Holy Ghost had me to start talking about Jesus to the woman. Now, be mindful, I only met this woman maybe one or twice since I met my brother. And they were all on drugs and everything. And the lady was just talking. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me, and I started prophesying to her. She started breaking down on the phone, crying, saying, I want to stop drinking. I want to stop drinking so bad. I can't stop drinking, but I want to stop drinking. This was her. And I'm like, huh? And then she said, you know, I really want Jesus. I need, you need to get your, she cursed me out and said, you need to get your mom at my house right now. I need Jesus. I said, well, I have no clothes on. I said, hold on, well, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you now. It was a setup. Listen, y'all, my setup was a setup. And this woman of God, listen, this woman cried out for Jesus. I ministered to her for about an hour and a half. We were on there. She wouldn't let me go for to save my life. She cried out. I led her to the Lord, started ministering the word of the Lord to her. And what was on me, because the Spirit of the Lord was on me, just like Ezekiel, God had me to speak to this woman. And she said, I don't even want this drink. I'm not even supposed to be drinking. I'm throwing this drink down. I said, Lord, why would you use me? Why would you take somebody like Angel, all the stuff I go through? I said, why would you take me and my pain and take my pain and bring out your promise to give to somebody else that is hurting like me? And I'm looking at, and I forgot all about my pain. And I ended up ministering to this woman, giving her Jesus. And this woman broke down. She said, I was feeling suicidal. I need somebody to minister to my son. I need a big brother for my son. I said, bring him to me. It was such anointing on me, so strong, woman of God. I said, God, why did you make me the way you made me? I said, I don't understand the way you made me. But I look at God, and I'm sitting here crying in my tears today. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, Lord, you never know who's hurting. And you brought this woman, had this woman on the phone, and you loose on the phone, and now she wants to come to church?
Lord.
I put her on the phone, woman of God, they had like a panel thing, and they were doing this whole panel thing, talking about, you know, relationships and stuff. She said, yeah, I need to hear that. I need to hear that. And I was just letting her listen to it. And she said, I need to go to that church. I said, I'm coming with you Sunday. I said, Lord, whatever way you want to use me, I'm available. I don't care about my hurt. This ain't about your hurt, y'all. This is about you being birthed into what God has ordained you to be.
Amen.
Kingdom ministry, kingdom. We got to be kingdom minded. And the Lord, the Spirit of God came on me, and this just now he gave me this scripture again. He took Ezekiel into the valley. Some of you are here going, and you're in a valley situation right now. You ask God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through all this embarrassment? Why am I going through all this rejection? Why I feel so alone? Why I feel so hurt, disappointed? And God is going to take your disappointment and turn it into his appointment. I'm telling you, he's turning it around. And I'm feeling so anointed this morning to let you all know this. Like I said, I love you. I'm driven by God's love. I'm driven by God's love. God bless y'all. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm in so many tears this morning. Oh, my God. God. It's on me this morning. I just want to tell y'all I love you all. If I can't do nothing else to say nothing else on this line, I love every person, whether you hurt, whether you hate me, whether you love me, whether you don't understand me, I ain't got no hate towards you. I love you. And I mean this from the depths of my heart. I know that you make mistakes. I know you can't. Some of y'all can't deal with me because I'm wild. I'm who I am. God made me this way. And I thank God for being who I am. I thank God for the joy that he's put in my heart to share to the world. And that's who I am. God bless y'all. Let me stop holding this line up. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Amen. I thank and praise God. And when you said Ezekiel 37, amen, I know that years ago, and I believe it was back in 1997, when I had went to the doctor and they realized that I had, because I couldn't, kept limping and couldn't hardly walk, and I was having a lot of pain in my right knee. And I went there, and the doctor said, "You got a hole in your right femur." I'm like, "A hole?" I'm like, where do I get a hole from my right femur? Amen. And so anyway, he said, "We got to do surgery." I was like, "What? Surgery?" Mm-hmm. I said, "What are you planning on doing?" He said, "Well, we got to get a bone from the bone bank." I said, "I got to get somebody else a bone from a bone bank?" And so anyway, I was just kind of uneasy about that. And I remember going before the Lord. And I said, "God, well, how are they going to do this surgery? I said, I need to know how they're going to do this surgery." And he took me to Ezekiel 37. And he showed me exactly how they was going to do that surgery. And I'm like, "Oh, my God." And when I realized what they were going to do, I'm like, "So, Lord," I said, "that bone that they get from the bone bank," I said, "Lord, sanctify that bone." I said, "Sanctify." I said, "I need you to sanctify," because I said, "Evidently," I said, "my bone right now." I said, "It's like a dry bone." I said, "It needs some help." Amen. And I said, it's just like that bone is going on the inside of the other bone. Just like when you have a hole and you're going to put a cork in there. I said, it's going to be adjacent and it's going to grow into my other bone. I said, "I need that bone to be sanctified, God." Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so from that, amen, the Lord showing me I was very comfortable with it. I was very comfortable with the surgery, whatever, because didn't want to have the surgery. Had already had surgery on my left knee. I said, "Lord, I tell you, amen, glory to God." But nevertheless, I was just truly blessed. I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "Whichever way, you know, God brings lives together and experience together, amen." And when you talked about that scripture and God gave it to me in a totally different way, I said, look at the amazement and the miraculous things that God does. That's why he say that my thoughts are not his thoughts. You know, our thoughts are not his thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And so it's so far above, amen, trying to figure out, okay, what God is thinking, what God is doing. God has to reveal this thing to us, amen, because I couldn't understand it. I'm like, and many people say, "How in the world you get a surgery out of that?" I said, "I showed you how I get the surgery out of that. When they start putting when that sinew start coming up on them, on those bones, amen, and amen." And then the Lord said that they're going to open up that skin. Amen. Glory to God. And so the sinew is the muscles and all of that has to be pushed away. But then once they put the bone in there, do what they have to do, then what? They're going to close it back up, and the muscles and the sinew and all of those things are going to come back together. And, you know, that's just amazement of God. How God, I'm like, I couldn't see it at first. I kept reading. I'm like, "What?" Until he gave me a revelation of it. I said, "Lord, you're so right. That is exactly how it's going to come about." Amen. So clear up the bone. I said, "Well, Lord, I thank you." I said, "I thank you for resurrecting my bones." Amen. I said, these natural bones, the natural bone. I said, God, I said it was dry. I said it was sick. Amen. You know, that it needed a little help. And so, really, family of dry bone, you the one that resurrected. You the one that sanctified that bone.
Amen.
That knee is strong and is doing well. Amen. So I just bless the Lord for you, woman of God. This is just an awesome time in the Lord. Amen. This is open form on this morning. I tell you, you better step on in before you get left behind. Amen. On the conference line, you know what to do. Start fix your line to come on in. On the Blog Talk Radio, glory to God. Press one on your dial. Administrator Brian will bring you right on in. Amen. Glory to God. There's a different atmosphere right now on the line. It's a different atmosphere on the line right now. Glory to God. Amen. I just hear they say the water's troubling in the Oshia, God.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just step right on in. Glory to God. And allow God, amen. I think it's excavate. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Excavate. I think that's what the word is. Amen. When they resume the body. That's what it is. Resume. When they resume the body. Amen. Glory to God. There's nobody for God. I get excited sometimes. I'm like, God, what is that word? What is that word? It's resume. When they resume the body. Amen. From the grave. Amen. Excavate is something else. Amen. When the archaeologist is going out there, he excavating the rocks and all of it. I think that's what that is. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So we just bless the Lord. Amen. What a time, what a time, what a time, amen, that we're having on this line. Amen. I feel a spirit of free flow. It's a, what the spirit of the Lord is. It's liberty. Amen. It is liberty. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Minister Brian, do we have any questions on your end? Amen. God bless you, Prophet Matthew. You behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prophet Matthew, that was your clue right there to come on in. Got me hanging like that. That's all.
She left us.
Amen. God bless you, Prophet Matthew. That was your clue to come on in. You have your clue card. Amen. Apostle Simmons. God bless you, Apostle Simmons. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. To visionary Dr. Matthews, to Dr. Will, to Mr. Bryant, to the people of God. Bless you all today. I do have a question to put on the table to you, Prophet. It might be probably three questions in one. Bless you, sir. Amen. I know y'all deal with relationships.
I'm just letting them go for broke today.
Going for broke.
Yeah, let them go for broke.
Amen. All right, sir. Yes, sir. And I think you've been addressing the prophet too, to some of the, I guess some of the backlash that you may have been getting as being a prophet, being a seer, being an apostolic leader. When it comes to the believers in the body of Christ, because we know that many people say that they are believers when they are saved, they are Christians, part of the Christendom movement, whatever denomination association they affiliate with. Now, the question I want to put on the table is, why don't so many believers believe in so many words, end times, Bible prophecy, I got a lot of putting them all out there, believing in the prophets that are speaking now, why are the believers afraid of men and women of God when God used them in that magnitude and they call it demonic or they call it the devil or the enemy? Why do many believers have a problem with men and women of God, God using to operate from an authentic place in that manner?
Well, I think when it comes to dealing with eschatology, and that's end time or end of the age, end of a dispensation, end of an era, end of an hour, it's always tough for people to address what we call eschatology, end time, because I don't think people properly understand the word end time or eschatology or end of an age, end of a dispensation, end of a moment, or what we call in the beginning of something. Anytime you're dealing with end time over what we call the Logos, Word of God, or theology or Christology, even pneumatology, you have to tap into the area of life where something's going to end, something's going to begin. And when you're forced to deal with a dispensational period of time or a dark age or a new age, you're dealing with people who don't understand the unknown or the end of that era or end of a dispensational, end of a moment. And for most believers, we take eschatology from the place of what we call rapture, being raptured up or leaving. And rapture, the word rapture came on during the turn of the century, during a movement when three major black leaders entered this world stage, William C. Moore, C.H. Mason, and Bishop Jones. And at a pivotal time, we were in a movement, and every movement create another fear. Every fear create another dimension in that movement. And so when you start talking about things that's ending an era or thing that's creating an era, based upon theologians, the word is solid. It becomes solid to them. In the beginning with the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and the Word exists. And they don't go past that Logos word. And based upon the Word of God in history, we all talked about the coming of the Lord, or end of a time, or end of an age. And so when people have heard that from a theological standpoint for so long, when God speaks to men about end time, it begins to make people have fear of when is God coming? When is the Lord coming? When is the Messiah coming? So from that place, and that's just a small point of theology when you're dealing with end time, life, word. People don't know how to carefully and skillfully deal with that word end time. So much error comes out of that, or a lack of understanding, getting people not to necessarily believe that it is an end time or event, end time or events like that. I believe Kenneth Hagin talks a lot about end time. Some other people talk about end time. I share about end time. And when people look at end time, they look at it from end time, but they don't look at it about what's coming in that time or in the time of God. What's getting ready to happen right now in this time, in this end time, what's going to happen at the end of a matter? And if you deal with end time, what's going to happen at the end of a matter, then that causes fear, because you're talking about something at the end of time, but the end of an era. Let me give you a perfect example. The people from Britain love Queen Elizabeth. She sat on the throne 70-plus years. They don't want to see her leave. There are millions of people who do not want to see her leave. But she's at an end time. You follow what I'm saying? And it's at the end of that time. Many people didn't want to see certain things happen biblically, but it was an end time, end of a time. And when it comes to people in that particular end of a time, they war against it because they don't want to relinquish things or release it or let it go. So when you talk about end time from the Bible perspective, you're talking about literally a transition of a period, a transition of an epitome, a transition of an epic moment, and things are leaving and changing. But the Word of God does not change. Really what they're talking about, it's the end of a dispensation for that people, for that individual, for that time period that a person reigned and ruled, for a governmental. Every president has an end time. They serve 8 years or 4 years, and at the end of the era. So something begins from that place. God always allows people a stage, arena, a platform, an epic moment, and it come and go at the end of a time. So you're breaking the word of God down to what's happening in this end time in the world, cataclysmic event. What I see now is biochemical warfare coming. I see a lot of things happening in human lives. So when you talk about 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, based upon end time, that's going to happen to human lives. They already talked about that when they gave us Walking Dead for the last 10 seasons. So you talk about end time, what's getting ready to happen. And when you have to address it from that place, it becomes voodoo or witchcraft spirit. You don't want to address it. So in saying that, I'm just trying to make it simple when I talk about end time from this place. Change must happen, but the change that are on people is required, and people don't want to take the change off of them so change can come. So they battle the end time when they're not willing to open up to see the whole picture of what God will do and want to do and want to make happen for people in that particular time. So, and other people give their take on that in time. But that's just a simple, a little recipe to dealing with in time.
Yes, sir, that's good. And one of the things that I view from this prophet and Mother Sydney is that many people cliche that God will not leave us ignorant concerning Satan's devices.
Yes.
I believe that as believers from all walks of life in our relationship with God, he will not leave us ignorant. But many people are being deceived in the last and evil days. And like you broke it down, you explained about a dispensation of end time of something ending, because we know that there was billions of people before us, and they went through a dispensation. And now we're in a dispensation and a time that we know something's going to end. But in the body of Christ as believers, we know, like I think you worded out as well, about how many scholars and theologians, the way that they teach it, and so many people don't like to deal with it because it drives fear. But at the same time, shouldn't we as believers, shouldn't we know the way? Shouldn't we know the truth? Shouldn't we have understanding instead of being ignorant concerning the things that are going on around us? Because many people, I heard it in the past, and I still kind of hear it, you know, even now, of people saying that they are believers, but they're ignorant to certain things. I know it comes with a lot of the lack of knowledge, of not knowing. Like you say, they're afraid to step into the unknown. And many leaders that are in positions that oversee a flock, they don't touch on it because they don't understand it themselves. You broke that down. But I believe, it's just my opinion, I believe that as believers in our relationship with God, I don't think he leaves us in the dark concerning all of the things that is happening around us as believers to keep us from being deceived by the enemy. And this is where the church has fell into the trap that for so long, being deceived by the things that is happening in the land. People don't even understand, even though it's scripture now and it's Bible, many people don't touch on it or go there and deal with it because they feel like it's not necessary. Even when you talk about dealing with prophets or prophetic people that are speaking what the Father is saying now, many leaders don't address the place of the Antichrist spirit that has hit the nation, hit the land. Many, it's foreign to many believers, but should they have an increment or know concerning the Antichrist spirit and concerning deception, concerning the things that will unfold. If they say that a believer is in the kingdom of God now, shouldn't they have an understanding of that so they won't be deceived by what's taking place in our land?
Absolutely.
When the Bible speaks of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know everybody on different levels of faith, and I know everybody is taught different. I understand that, but as believers, when people say that they are in a relationship with God, to me, I feel on just putting so many words, just closing up what God has given us all as his children, as believers. Because, again, many people feel like when they get saved, they're on their way to heaven. But God has given us mandates and assignments in the earth to do and caused many leaders to be watchmen on the wall to teach, train, and equip the people so they won't walk in ignorance or deception.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You hit it right there, because what the Lord just gave me, he said, my first principle.
Yeah.
His first principle is simplicity. If the first principles are taught, and it's Matthew 28:16-20, the Great Commission, he gave the assignment, amen, to his disciples as well. He's given it to us. And in 18, it tells us he gave Jesus. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, all power in heaven and in earth. And then he commissioned his disciples to make disciples. And when he commissioned, he told them to go. Then he told them to teach all nations. Then he told them to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so those all things, to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, all the things that God have taught the disciple. And so if we were taught these first principle is to disciple, amen, to go out to the nation, amen, and teach them all things that Christ has taught, and to observe all these things of God's teaching, they would know. Even in your own relationship with God, amen, you will know, amen. This word of God, amen, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. The word of God is his last will and testament for us to know about the end time and to know about, okay, prepare. John 14 tells us to prepare. Amen. Because we know that he's coming back. Amen. Revelation, even though they, because of fear and all of the graphicness of Revelation, amen. It fear overtake them, and then they don't understand. But as you keep reading it, and as you give a revelation, I mean, as you walk with God, God will give you the revelation of it. Amen. Because our nation of people, amen, have gone through some hardship. They've seen decapitation. People in war seen decapitation. People in war seen people's legs and head blowed off. Amen. Glory to God. Because when he said there's nothing new up under the sun, there ain't nothing new up under the sun. All this catastrophic that's going on right now, it happened then and it's happening now. Amen. And we just have to ask God to guard our heart, that in the end time that our heart don't faint, our heart don't give out. Amen. Because this is where we are at. But because of different message, is being taught. Amen. And when you constantly keep preaching prosperity, 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 it's nothing wrong with that because God wants us to prosper, but he wants our soul to prosper too. But yet, are you redefining, are you re-announcing, are you reminding the people of the obligation upon the earth, what God told us to do? Amen. It's simplicity. Stay the course of preaching Jesus, him crucified. Amen. Stay on the course. Amen. And allow the what? And if we had the fivefold ministry in the church, if every church had that fivefold ministry, if they honor each person in their gifting and let them operate, we wouldn't, God, he will not allow us ignorance of Satan the bite. We wouldn't be ignorant. We would be on target. Ooh. On target because we're teaching. We're teaching what Jesus told us to teach. Man have been bamboozled. Amen. Because what? Because of the glitter, the enticement of what Satan brought into them. We serve a God that owns the world. We serve a God that owns the diamonds and the jewels, everything upon the earth. Amen. That's the God that we serve. We serve that God. He's Abba Father. And when they realize that, amen, you shouldn't, the things of this world shouldn't entice you. Silver and gold shouldn't entice you. You got the silver and gold. I am the bank. The Bible tells us who we are. Amen. If we walk in that, we will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes our way. Amen. We will know who we are if the body will speak the same language.
Oh, my God. That's it.
You know something, Mother, and thanks to God. I will give this twist to it. We're gonna always be tempted in every area. We're gonna all be challenged, but it's how we as believers take the word of God and take God at His word. I wanted to go back to something the woman of God said, our sister Angel said in the beginning when she first shared her heart. From this standpoint, and she was feeling pain, hurt, even some type of way. I'll deal with that probably at the end, but I want to share this from this standpoint of ministry. I'm not even going to go to the years I've been in ministry because even before I was considered called into ministry, my life was always ministry. When I was in high school, I was doing ministry. I wasn't doing it based upon the church system. So I didn't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was not a pastor, but I was doing ministry. My life was ministry. Everywhere I went, it was ministry because anytime you are operating in reconciling people to God or reconciling them in righteousness or reconciling them in love, that's ministry. We don't call it that. We don't use it like that. We don't say that. But any human being on earth that reconciles people from something bad into good is considered a ministry. It's considered a work. So in saying that, the question now is, what is the definition of ministry? What is the definition of church? What is the definition of kingdom? The definition is what they gave us, not what God gave us. So if we're going to do what we call ministry, it's not limited to a structural building. It's not limited to your organization. It's not limited to your denomination. It's not limited to your doctrine. Holiness is the whole picture of the kingdom for God and expressed himself in a human body. Holiness is used, it's expressed in a human body. A human body that is flawed first. A human body that is not perfect. A human body that can be used as a conduit in the earth realm to influence people to do what's right. Not to do what doctrine, denomination, religious say, but do what's right. To lead people in a path that will bring them into the ways of Yeshua, bring them into the ways of Elohim, bring them into the ways of right living, right standing in their life without getting them, or let me put it like that, without or trying to do it without them making you a god or making you their god. Most people who come into the knowledge and the truth of a man or a woman that shows true, authentic love and shows a great love for them and express it through the spirit of God, people gravitate toward that person. Y'all follow me? They gravitate toward that person. They're not gravitating to make that person a god. What they're doing is they're gravitating what they see in that person as the presence of God. Our misunderstanding becomes when we see a person gravitate towards a person doing something that's unnormal. Really, it's normal, but it looks unnormal. People gravitate toward that because that person is changing my life, and that person is influencing my life from what I saw from people who were walking, breathing, and living that type of life. So I'm being influenced by this person's life because it's changing my life, and I'm following them, or I'm honoring them, or I like what I see that they're doing, because what they're doing is impacting my life in a totally different way than the way I saw it or than the way I saw people do it. And so when people see that, they gravitate towards that because it's changing my life. What I saw as individuals living and acting like that, it was unbecoming. So now I'm being influenced. So our job as reconciliation of the body and reconciling people to Christ is to let people see the presence, the power, and the spirit of God upon our life. And so through that wave, people's lives are touched, and people's lives are changed, and people's lives are different because they're being reconciled to the things of the Lord. It's not necessarily us. It's more being reconciled. It's when people start taking you and putting you in a place that God is in that becomes dangerous, or what's in you become the pride rises up. I don't have that in me. I believe that my job or anybody's job is to reconcile God's people back to him. But he only does it through a vessel like you and I. He can't do it through anybody else. He can't do it through himself because he's a spirit. He needs a system, somebody to put in his skin and use you as a reconciler. The people who watch us and view us from afar or from a different platform can take it as if, man, they're trying to replace God. Not necessarily. That's the farthest thing from the truth. He must use a vessel. Just imagine how Jesus influenced a world, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like it. The devout people who kept the law to the letter, the devout people who didn't believe in miracles, signs and wonders, didn't believe in demons, didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in the signs and wonders. Look at the battle he had to fight with just his presence showing up, casting out demons, using parables, dealing with those things. So everything that we're seeing now is the same thing Jesus did, which leads me to the point of Sister Angel when she was sharing about she woke up feeling some type of way, feeling, wanting to just express herself in the way she sees it. And you started your introduction. You were locked down. You were held down. You were kept in bondage. You wasn't allowed to express yourself. You were kept in this box. So in other words, you were abused. You were always going through abuse of circumstances and situations. So from that place, pain came from that place. Hurt came from that place. From that particular person is the individuals, not necessarily a church or God's people, because God's people, we don't do that. It's people that are coming into the building or the church that treat people like that and act like that. The problem with a lot of people is we have too many people with mood swings. We have too many people with issues in their own life that bring their problems and their pain to us. And they feel some type of way without self-control. We have so many people that don't have self-control. So from that place, they're hurting others because they don't know how to control themselves. They don't have self-control. They hold on to stuff to the place where they explode. They don't have an outlet where they can go to release it. And if they do, the church world will say, you're not saved. That's not godliness. That's not the way of God. So they don't have an outlet. Then you have people that they suppress all of these things because they miss the word love over how can two walk together except they be agreed. So let me drop this in somebody's spirit. Here's what they say. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, that word in Amos 3:3 is a question. That's a question after the Lord said, you, Israel, are the only people I know. So we use that question to define relationship. So what Jesus, God was saying is that my love for Israel is so great. Why would you want to love somebody else? So let me pinpoint it this. Let's say a man in the world or woman in the world meets a man in the church or woman in the church. And that woman in the church, that man in the world, fall in love with that woman in the church. Do you think the love that she has and the love that he has can make them love God? See, let me just use me for example. If I meet a woman in the world and she loved the God that I serve, do you think for one moment she wouldn't decide to serve the God that I serve and come into the church and love the God that I serve? If love is really there, if the authentic love is there, man, you won that man over. You won that woman over. And they will serve God because the love is there. It's the love of God that draws people. I'm just using it from a marriage standpoint. Now, watch this. If I go into the world and I show my love to the world, how many people in the world wouldn't come into the church? Or let me put it to that. Wouldn't want what they see that I'm showing them, the love of God. See, everybody ain't coming into my atmosphere because they want the rise. That's what these church people need to get. They want the love that I have for God. And I'm so tired of these women and people and church folks creating havoc for people who really want what I'm trying to give them, the love of God. You follow what I'm saying? I'm only expressing what God is. Oh, she got an agenda. She doesn't have an agenda. She's a sister that won't help. He doesn't have an agenda. He wants what God has. Leaders that are around me. It's always something. Why? Because people really don't have the love. They have these insecurities, moves with issues in their own life. And they don't understand the dynamics of true, authentic love. And when people really see it, then they create rules for your love. You won't put rules on me. You won't limit me to my love. I have a type of love that is so phenomenal. It scares me. I'm taking on things. Now, let me take you to the scripture here. Matthew 4 and verse number 12. Here's what it says. I mean, correction. Hebrew 4 and verse number 12. Let me share people some true love of Yeshua. And he doesn't even use the word love here. Look at this. Here's what it says. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the asunder, the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. Oh, that's powerful. Look at that, Mother Sydney. There's no creature, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, for all things are naked, open unto the eyes of him who we have to be. Now watch this.
Right.
So every time you meet somebody, there's something that happens in their life, but immediately religious people, folks who really don't know themselves, they fall into these insecure places. They fall into these things. They feel of some type of way. It's not like that. It's called love. And when people meet love, it changes pain. When people meet love, it changes hurt. When people meet love, it changes insecurity. When people meet love, it changes anger. Why? People meet love. Why? Because it's not expressed all the time. So when you see true love, you gravitate toward it. It's not that a person is who you think he is. You create illusion and delusion and hallucination and all kinds of things. When you see true love, people don't understand it because they don't know. They never really had it. They never really had it. They had it from a bedroom. They had it from somebody touching them. They had it from somebody selling them what they want. They haven't had true love. True love will correct. True love will stand the test of time. True love will look at somebody and express it. True love will tell you right when you don't even want to be right. That's true love. Let me go deeper. Let me go deeper for somebody. Let me go deeper. Let me go deeper because I heard everybody today. Let me tell you something. I felt some type of way today here in Washington, D.C. I felt some type of way. I felt some type of way, but it was not me. It was something I was picking up in my atmosphere. So I was picking up different people, different issues. And so I said, I felt some type of way too. And picking up these things, you have to understand that God, Elohim, Abba, don't operate like we operate or we do things. God is totally different. He's totally different. All of these moods, swings, personality issues, in down, in and out. Don't know who they are. Trying to be something. Trying to define something. Going here. One day they there. One day they not. In a moment. Out of a moment. Man, if I live on a principle of people, I would never be where I'm at. Relationship with God and even people. Let me go further. Here's what Jesus said in Hebrews 4 and 13. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of Christ, Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Now listen to this. Let's hold fast to our profession. Well, in other words, our career, our background, our gift, where we at. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Now look, everything you went through, Sister Matthews, he did it. Everything I went through, he went through. But was in all points, look at somebody say, every point in the human anatomy, tempted as yet as we are, yet without sin. So he had the ability to sin. That's what we keep missing. Jesus could have sinned. He could have sinned. He could have sinned, but he didn't. He made a choice. He made a choice not to sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. So he can help you at every place in your life. He was tempted in every single point, every single area, every single arena, every single thought, every single issue. Yet he did not sin. So he had all the points, all the issues, all the problems, all the challenges, all, but he did not sin. He came for us. So in all of these areas, he felt some type of way. He had a day went down there. He left and went to the mountain. He got away from the people. He pulled away. He was tempted. So we're going to feel this type of way. You're going to feel like you feel, woman of God. You're going to have up time, down time. You're going to have good moments and bad moments. At all points, you're going to deal with every point. But guess what? Just don't let it overtake you. Don't let it cause you to lose yourself. Don't let it cause you to hurt somebody. Don't let it cause you to move from the things of God. Because we're going to deal with all of these points. You're going to have up days, down days. Let me tell you something. You're going to have days you want to make love. Can I be honest? There are days that you don't want to be dealing with. There are days you don't want to feel like you want to be hugged. There are days that you want to do stuff that is not the word of God, but you're not going to do it. It's not going to stop you. There are things that you desire, that's human life, but you know you're going to do what's right. See if you follow up that, but it's not going to stop you. Follow me. It's not gonna, all of those points. There are times you're going to sit down and think about what happened to you with people. How did they treat you? Then you're going to be like, man, wow, man, they did me like that. And you're going to feel some type of way. And then you'll get angry, but then you'll get over it. There's going to be times you're going to have a moment, and you're going to deal with a moment. But then you're going to say, man, I got to break through. There's times you're going to look at people in ways that you shouldn't look at it, but it's not intentional. Because it's reminding you of a certain way somebody did you before, but you did get over. You follow what I'm saying? These are ways and things that we all have, all points that we go through with the world. This system wants us to be robots. Oh, you got to feel some kind of way. And the greatest weapon that people in the church world use against each other is God said it. The Lord said it. The Most High said it. The Spirit of the Lord God said it. And we buy into it because we want a word. And they even words that they know that we're well known and rehearsed in, they use the word we rehearsed in against us. It may not even be a word from God, but they know how to use the word to get your attention. People will use words to get your attention. They will use words to try to control you. They'll use words to try to make you sit down and examine yourself when really you have already examined yourself. They'll use words to draw you into their web. They'll use words to make you feel good so they can get connected to you. They'll use words to make them feel good on their own platform. They'll use words and say, you know what? I prophesied that. Well, eternity already said it was going to happen for me. God just uses you as a kind do it to let it be committed. there are people who don't want to be honest about their security. So they may feel insecure. Watch this. They may feel that if they share you with others, they may lose you. It ain't that, Sarah. It's what had transpired from other people in their lives that they lost or they thought they had a hold on to. Our life, my life, is the love of God and ministry. This is what I do. If I never get a penny, this is what I do. This is what I do. I can't stop embracing God's greatness over people. Because of people's insecurity, it makes it hard to do what I want to do. And this is why. Because people don't know and understand that his love is not limited to your question mark. His love is not limited to your question mark. God's love is limitless. It's not limited to your question mark. It's not limited to that. You're not going to lose me for that spare. You're not going to lose me because I didn't say hello to you that day. You're not going to lose me because I had to go to a meeting or I didn't return your call at that moment. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to get back with you. You're not going to lose me because I went into the service and I forgot that you were there. I didn't. The power of God's love is so great. It has an action to it that changes the course of people's lives. It's not limited to your question mark. It's not limited to what you think or you do. It's far greater than any masterpiece that can ever be created. When he said, God is love, there was nothing before it or nothing after it. One word that created so many. And then out of that word, people took it and used it for so many things. Love is not a deception. It's not a manipulation. It is what it is. And it opens up. Now, the authenticity brings it all together. Because I'm now releasing the authentic person with a powerful word. Now it's drawing. Because human life wants to know in all these points in life, your experience helped my life experience. Your experience let me know, wow, I can love God in everything, and I can be strong in God, and I can serve him, yet I don't have to mess up because of his love. And not intentionally messing up. When I do, I have an advocate. I have an advocate in him who can draw me back because I didn't intentionally mess up. I messed up from a place of a flawness that's in me. But I don't intend and not tempt it and not push it myself to mess up. I do what I can to do the best in God. And all of this and everything else in the world, when it falls to sleep and goes away, you man, you woman, married or not, have to sit down and examine your own volition of life and ask yourself the question, God, what did I do in my assignment today, hour ago, in life that impacted somebody's life? Not from a church, but what is in my life that somebody like to draw them to you? To draw them to you. I can't worry about what people say. Let me tell you something. In these last probably 11 years, I've had people tell me who won't be good for me. I had people tell me who's good for me. I tell people, that person is not bad for you. I have people try to sway my decision, even allowed it. Please, I've allowed it to happen. I've allowed it. But there's a crossroad in life where no matter what you do in life, people will come and they will go. But you, man, you woman of God, you have to know in your own shadow that when you make a choice, you can live with him. Not them, not her, not your staff, not your team, not the church people. Can you live with him? Because it's you that have to make that decision, not the people. Saul learned that real good. The people helped make the decision. Solomon learned it when he told God, these your people. Give me an understanding. And God gave him wisdom. And he still came up short because he made them. He made all of the people. He started serving their God. So it's important and imperative. Thank to God. If you say, sanctify, fill with his precious gift of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues, as people say. And if you don't speak in tongues, still speak with the right language to make people know that you have God love. If you do it God's way, believe you of the day, if you rest or lay down, God is going to take care of you. No matter what your background says, your resume says, people say to you, or what you have been influenced in or came from, you, man of God, woman of God, have to live that life. Not what people told you, how tight your clothes were, how soft your clothes were, how you walked up to somebody, how you said hi to a husband or wife, how you said, I appreciate you. We all have something in us that causes us hurt. We all have something in us that causes us to have shortcomings. But we should not let it come short of the glory of God in our life. You should. Because my job is to leave a mark on this earth through the word of God that can never be erased. And people will remember what you've done. They will remember not what you did them, but what you've done. Because you can give people money, cards, of what you've done. I give my daughters and my sons little toys and cards and gifts on holidays and events. And you know they play with it for a while and they throw it away. But my hugs and my 28, 29-year-old daughter and son, another one, when I look at them and say, I love you, and I hug them and squeeze them, and I cherish them, they have that for a lifetime. So if I say to one of my sisters in the kingdom, and I look her in the eye, no matter what she says, the feel of what 1,000 people are going to say, sister, I love you. the phenomenal woman of God. I appreciate you. I don't care what people say. I used to be nervous about that. Man, let me tell you something. I would not let anybody redefine my love phenomena. Nobody will do it. Whatever they think, however they think. Somebody read my book. So they was trying to tell somebody the story of my book. So when a person came to me about my book, I said, they started telling me the story. I said, well, that's interesting, man. I said, let me ask you a question. Some of the stuff you said to me are not in my book. Let me ask you, did you read it? No. Somebody told me. I said, let me tell you something about me. My book can tell you my story, and I can personally tell you my story. People can all give you a biography. I can give you the auto of my life. I can tell you everything. So when people finish telling you my story, you sit down with me, I'll make all of them look like a liar. Let me say that one more time. When people get down telling you my story, somebody can write this down. If you sit down with me, I can make everybody a liar. You know why? Because nobody can tell my story like I can tell it. They can give you bits and pieces. People can tell you about you to other people. Sit down with them. They can tell you the real story. Now, I'm not trying to make them look like a liar. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, they can't tell it all. People can't tell you everything that Jesus did. They can only tell you what he did in the Bible. Jesus has to be able to visit you in your spirit. And he can overshadow you with his presence. And from that, you can release that to the people. You don't have to worry about what other people say. When he overshadows you with him, man, that's a love story that the Bible can't contain a whole, because there's a greatness of God. My job is to make a mark in the lives of God's people that can never be erased. I've dealt Mother Simeon, Mr. Carolyn, Pastor Simmons, people for a long time. People can give a view of you. But you sit down with a person, you know their story, but they write their own book and not in the pages, in their life, leading in their life. Their life is a persona of God. And because really people don't understand who God is, they really don't. It's so many dimensions of Elohim, Abba, the Most High, Yahweh, Jehovah, that we haven't even experienced because only limited in church. There's a depth, height, width of God that's far greater than anything could be imagined. And when it requires you to move past you, it gets scary. Now that becomes the end time. Because you have to end what's in you. Man, God was greater than it, yeah. He's more powerful than it. He's more sharper than it, yeah. Wow. People don't want to suffer. They don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through something. I don't want to deal with this pain. But man, if you want this oil to be what it is in your life, it's crunch time. That's what the Lord gave me 2 days ago. Because why? It's crunch time, man. It's crunch time in the land. And let it pour. Let it go. Let it rip. People going to come. People going to go. People going to threaten you. They're going to go. People going to try to scare you into go. They're going to try to throw fear on you. Sometimes when people walk away from ministry and leave, it makes you go through emotional schism. These are not my people. I'm the pastor of their purpose. And my job is to pastor of their purpose. They'll come back. But they'll watch from a distance. How many times on this conference line people said to me, now listen to this, if I'm in New York, I can use my phone, my area code in New York. If I'm in Texas, I can use my phone in Texas. If I go to Cancun, if I want to pay the fees, I can still use my phone. If I go to Sierra Leone, over in Europe, Asia, I can still use my phone. I got to just connect to that frequency. Y'all follow me? If I go to Tennessee, if I go to Michigan, North Carolina, all of the states for you, California, Jamaica, I can still use my phone. So people tell me, Prophet, my ceiling is up on your conference line.
Okay.
I said it's up. I got to leave. I'm done.
Okay.
Bless the Lord. Amen. If you got to do what you have to do. Now watch this. Because they're so used to being in a church building, they don't recognize. Your season ain't never up on the phone. You can call anytime you want, 7 days a week, or Monday night, third Monday night, every Sunday morning, 5 a.m. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday morning now, first and third Friday, first and third Saturday. Why? Because people don't understand. This is a phone. All you do is call it. You don't have to do anything. Just be on the phone. You know, my season is up with you all. Okay. God bless you to that. 218-548-3684. Access code 435-160 will exist. Do you follow me? So how do you make a season up on the phone? It's just that you don't call the number no more. Wherever you at in the world, whether you here or not, whether you come or go, it's a phone. Call them up. Tell them what you want. If you want your body healed, tell them what you want. He doesn't lose frequency. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. They pray it in the midnight. It's a phone. It's a phone. It's a telephone. When you change your number, this number remains the same for 11, 12 years. If you walk away, the number remains the same. What they're really saying to you, Apostle Simmons and Lady Simmons and saying, is they don't have the access that they really wanted with you. And they don't have the attention that you're really giving them. So they're leaving. It's a phone. You don't have to be a member to call this conference line. You don't have to be a covenant partner to call this conference line. You don't have to be a virtual member to call it. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift, an apostle, prophet, evangelist. All you have to do is call it up. And guess what? You get a word. Whether you like the word or not, or you get in touch by it or not, it's a word. It's a telephone. So when you say, my season is up, what they really say is that what's in you, I can't have it the way I want it. I need to find what I really want. But see, the phone ain't going nowhere. It's your elevation that's important. It's your ability to grow. If people see this phone is ministry, that building is ministry. Whether you move to one city, to another town, to another location, it's here. It's people, the power of divine connection, the power of covenant. Covenants don't mean. I already see, you know, Prophet Matthew, I'm enjoying what I do. And I want to try something new. Go for it. I'll be able to help you. Because, you know, when you in the backdrop of things, like I said, even if they change their number, they always land in a cut. You got people that always land in a cut. But they told you that season was up. God told them to move on. God told them to leave. And it's so unique that some people I have never seen in my life, call it 877, let me say, tell Prophet Matthew, I see when it's up on your conference line. I ask him, who are they? Who are they? He said, I don't know, Prophet. They just been on. I said, so I can't, if they're seeing it up, it's fine, because I see I never knew them. So some people I don't even know. But whatever we've done in that season, thank God. Whatever you do in that hour, praise the Lord. Covenants are never broken or altered. Friendship, God told Abram, you are my friend. No matter what you do, that remains the same. People come. I hear people say, well, that person is jealous of me. They don't like me. That person don't like me because I'm connected to you. That person, I hear all types of things. I hear it. I hear people tell me, well, you're a single man. People follow you because you're a single man. Women follow you. I say, I see married pastors and his wife, Sharita, been married years. His audience is mostly women. I can't receive that. You follow what I'm saying? I get it all. I get all sectors of what people say to me about this ministry. Well, you join this group. You join that group. People will tell you everything about what God has ordained you to do from the foundation. If you fall for anything people say to you, I will be in a mental war with medication, Melorel, psychotropic medication. If I trust God and serve him, no matter what the event is, I'll be okay. Because people are who they are, good, bad. If somebody step on their shoe, they'll tell you about it. Did you see they step on my feet? Did you see that? Well, I didn't. You didn't see that? I have people telling me, even in the church, did you see that step on my shoe? I said, no, I didn't see it. You were standing right there. You didn't see that? No, I didn't. And they'll debate me, somebody stepping on their shoe, but they won't go to the person who accidentally stepped on their shoe. Some people say, you don't see this going on. No, I didn't see it. You're a prophet. You should deserve it. No, I still didn't see that. See, if I take every little quota of issues of people who won't deal with it themselves and how that, I would never be. I will always look at other people worse than what they say. I have to serve the Lord. I'm with somebody stepping on somebody's shoe, somebody looking somebody up and down, somebody sitting in the front row with some type of face look motion, but I never know what they're going through. And Mr. Matthew never shared that today, you would never know. If another person didn't express it, you would never know. We assume, we're suspicious, not discerning. We view from afar off. We speak from what we have in us already. But if you're full of his love, you'll view like, man, my brother may be hurting. My sister may be dealing with anything. And I will not be a Martian from other people from other planets with their issue. I will not be a Martian to view from other people's planets about what God did, what God does. I left the ministry because you wasn't using me. Oh, well, what happened? You remember I gave you a responsibility and you said you got to pray about it, and I've been waiting for you to pray for the last 2 years. So I don't know what was wrong. Oh, you sure did. Yeah. But if you got to go, it's okay. You see what I'm saying, Mother Sidney? But they wasn't you. You see what I'm saying, Pastor Simmons? But I gave them an opportunity. And they've been praying for 2 years sitting there saying, give me an answer. You know why? Because that's not the position they want in the ministry. You follow what I'm saying? See, so I don't worry about what people say. Prophet Matthew, my season is up. You're not using it. I can tell them, I said, you know what? This is what I want you to do. Okay, let me seek the Lord. Okay. And they're still seeking God today about what I said. But they asked me for a position, and I gave it to them. And people, and I put them in position. But it's something that's a mess. That's why I put you there. But I believe you can change the mess. You follow what I'm saying? It's always going to be something. Forever learning. You're going to always deal with issues like that. You can select a person in a position. Well, I'm leaving. I thought I was going to get the position. No, as long as you got God in your heart, that position, that means more than another position. It's always going to be something in the kingdom. But in that great, dreadful day of the coming of the Lord, many people who said they said what they said, you will know if you said the word well done or depart from me. But so many people carrying all of these personas and all of this meanness, all this undertoning stuff, all of this bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, harboring things. Health issues that people have are all pre-existent. So if there's something in a human body causing them an illness, it's something pre-existent. It's something in the pores, the substratum of organs that are based upon a stressor in their life or issue in their life. When you deal with stressors, you deal with issues and things of this mental, psychological, emotional, mental health, there's something in us that causes us to be really ill. And the psychic of the people are very heavy. We have a world right now that's dealing with something in the psyche that have shifted the dynamics and the dichotomy of the earth. So we have to be aware of who we talk to, who we're talking to, and who's talking to them to talk to us because of what's going on in the earth realm. You stay in that place of God.
Man.
Trust him. Trust him. We all have good days, bad days, difficult moments, painful moments. Some people are grieving years later. Some people are dealing with things that were wounded them years ago. Deal. Some people are holding on to childhood, but silent, that they never were able to overcome. There's some men and some women that never had a father figure in their life, and even when he was in the home, you heard it. There's certain children that carry things from their mother who was wounded by another man or who's hurt. And carry that, and then get what they need. So when I look at all of these pictures, I have to be able to be things that some people would never to those men or women. I have to be to my sister a brother or father that they didn't see in their father or their brother. I have to be a man to women who were broken by men, wounded by men, hurt by men, and I have to show that love. I can't worry about what another sister says. I have to be that strength to them to show them that all men ain't like that. Y'all ain't like that. And you too, for brother. Not what you think. Did you see that lonely hugger? Yeah. Let me call him up. Yeah, Brother Matthew. So he's up for 1 minute and 25 seconds. Did he? Who? She like him. She said that. I don't worry about that foolishness. Man, you know, I would not sleep at night. You follow me if I dealt with that. I would not have a life if I worry about 12 seconds, 10 seconds, 50 seconds, 30 seconds. I would not have no peace. Some people need a hug longer than 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Some people need to fall in the arms of a man and let her cry and let him cry and release it. Go ahead, release it. Go ahead, release it, brother. It's okay. It's okay. Be safe. Let me take that. What we call safe and their mind is perverted. Because really their mind is perverted. But we're safe. I hope that makes you understand. The world is very, very painful. And they need the word of God. People need to be assured. They need to be assured. Place in the hand of God's people. They need it. They need to know this is okay. They need to know it's safe. And all of this stuff here, all of these things here, they need to know. I trust God. I trust God. I had an epiphany with the Lord. And I'm telling you, my whole mindset is not like it was when I came into the month of March. When I entered this month of March, Apostle Simon, Brother Sidney, I entered with a whole nother mindset. And it took me years to get to this point. And I'm not going back. But some of us, it may take a moment to find a moment. Write that down. It may take a moment to find a moment. And when I found that moment, I'm not going to let any other second take me away from the moment I found. I'm who I am. I am God. And I bless God today. For letting me find a moment and change the moment. And we all going to do it, whether we want to or not, whether somebody going to tell us how we're going to act, where we're going to act. I'm not a robot. I'm a rhythm from God. I'm a frequency from God. And I love it. I bless the Lord today. All right. Anyone else? Question, comments, statements? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on in, Mother Susan. Thanks for the Most High.
Amen. Powerful. I tell you. Amen. Sometimes, like, when you come behind there, when God has spoken like that, one thing I can say. Yes. I'm like, it is so. I'm not to say right now, it is so. Glory to God, it is so. Amen. It is.
I remember one time, Mother City. I remember one time, thank you, God. I drove all the way to Mother City. I was talking to her on the phone. You remember that, Mother?
Yeah,
Mother City. And I had two Mother City on. What happened to 280 some miles? I mean 283, 284. I'm driving all the way to Mother City. I just talking, yeah, Mother, yeah, how you doing? And I said, well, what do you like to eat? Mother, you like to what? I said, yeah. All the way, I drove all the way to her step. Get out of the car, sit on the phone. And said, Mother, what did I do with you guys? Said, Mother, that's just who I am.
Yeah,
I'm
totally surprised.
That's just who I am.
Totally surprised, yeah.
If I let people change me, man, I wouldn't be here. That's just who I am.
I'm a man, woman, a guy.
Yes. Somebody wanted to say something. Yes, Prophet, you know, as you were speaking, I was sitting here and I was listening real clear. And what came to me was something that the Lord gave to me a few weeks ago. He gave to me that God will use the mockery of the enemy to attract your miracle, to unveil his mystery. God will use the mockery of the enemy to attract your miracle, to unveil his mystery. And you know what his mystery really is? You know the book that you have out called Love the Unfinished Chapter. Oh, my God. There's an unfinished chapter, and the chapter is knowing God in the fullness of his love. And I really, truly believe that what that love is all about is God, his love is towards his people, his children. And he's trying to attract us back to our first love, because that's what happens is when we get the tangible things in life, we have a tendency of making things become our God more than actually giving our first love to God first. And then, like he said, all these other things, when he said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added unto you, right? And what God is trying to do is bring order in our lives. And I really, what's happening is, see, our flesh been out of order for so long. We've been accustomed to the disorder. And so what God has to do is he has to allow things to happen. And he knows that we have an enemy. Our real enemy is not flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? He said, but against principalities. I'm sorry. But against principalities. Powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So what we are dealing with is we're dealing with these fallen angels. We're dealing with these principalities. We're dealing with these demonic forces. Then we are also dealing with what has been embedded within our character, what has been embedded within our modality. And so what God is trying to do, it's like when you talked about the psychological things. All of us have been through that. It's just like when you go to war. Ain't no way in the world you're going to go to war and not have mental distress. It ain't no way in the world you're going to go to war and you don't get dirty. You understand what I'm saying? So I believe when we come to God, what the Bible says, you know, if you come to God, he will in no wise despise you. He's a broken and a contrite heart. God will in no wise despise. So I believe that God is driving us back to the place of brokenness so that when we break before him and we redirect our attention before God and our prayer and our cry before God, what God said, he said, wilt thou be made whole? Now, he gave us a will. He gave us a choice. Would you rather choose him or her over me? I'm the one that got I'm your life support. I'm your life support. And if you allow me to make you whole, you don't have to be found wanting. Because you'll realize that I'm the good shepherd. And I'm going to take care of whatever's going on in your life. I'm going to take you. Yeah, you've been like a broken cistern. You've been leaking. You've been bleeding. But I know how to drop the bleeding, just like I did with the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. What'd she do? Because of the crowd, She was trying to get to Jesus, but what'd she do? She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. She said, if I could just touch. That was where her faith was. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole. See, because what God is after, he's about to make us whole. So when he comes back for a church, he's going to come back with for his bride, and his bride is going to be without a spot or a wrinkle. So what he's doing, he's bringing wholeness. He's bringing healing to your emotional issues, your mental torture, the things that the enemy has done to you. But he's going to take your mockery, everything that the devil mocked you out about your past, laughed at you because, oh, you ain't got no husband, you ain't got no wife. Look how old you getting. You ain't got no baby. Hannah sat on the altar and prayed, murmured to God. What did the prophet, what did Eli do? The Bible says Eli saw and he thought she was drunk. He was a priest. But guess what he did? The Bible says he marked her mouth. He marked her mouth. He saw her mouth moving. She was praying, but he thought she was drunk. How many times the enemy make our situation look like we're a drunk prophet? You understand? But God is going to take the mockery of the enemy to attract your miracle so that he can show up with his mystery and to show you that in the darkness, I'm going to show you what I'm doing. He said, all things are working together for the good. There's some good coming out of this. This thing is going to drive us. We're going to be so purpose-driven, and reaching out to those that are broken. When God gets finished with them, ain't no turning back. You said turning point, prophet. There you go. It's a turning point. Paul, what happened with Saul? Look, he had a turning point at the road of Damascus, right? Come on. And that's where we are right now. It's a turning point. There's a turning point. He said, rend your heart, not your garment. You get close to God. It look hard. It won't be a fraud if you get close to God.
That's it.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Lord God. Hello. Anyone else this morning? Powerful. Thank you. Powerful thing. Yes. Hello. Amen. Powerful moment.
Amen.
In the sense of God. Bless the Lord. On to that. Honoring him for all that he is. A turning point. Yeah. It's a blessing. Honoring the Lord for what he's doing in the lives of his people and for our lives and the purpose of our life. Bless the Lord. Every morning, you know that his will shall be done. We thank God for the things of God on today as we prepare the one day away from our 8-year church celebration tomorrow. Minister O'Brien, I know she probably is away from the screen. I don't have it on my screen here. I'm away from that particular screen. They're on my screen here. But we bless the Lord for what the Lord is doing today in their lives and keep alive while being touched by the word of God. On today, and through the word of God, because it's on, it's the word of God that's the thing that keeps us and to give us the knowledge and understanding of his word. We're able to do great things through the word of God and through the power of his word. And I thank God for what the Lord is doing with the saints on today and allowing us to be able to understand his greatness for our life and the power that he's given the people of God. And this evening, we just thank God for everything that God is bringing us into. We're going to take a commercial. We'll be right back. Okay.
Get ready. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries presents the 8-year church celebration. 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Dr. LaRon Matthews Sr., pastor. The anniversary celebration theme. It's time to make it count. March 25th through 27th, 2022. Kicking off Friday night, March 25th at 7 p.m. Bishop Nathaniel Matthews Sr., pastor of Way of Life Holiness Church, Joliet, Illinois. Saturday morning, March 26th from 10 a.m. until noon. It's the Leadership Workshop. Your host, Apostle Greg Jacobs. Greg Jacobs Ministry, Chicago, Illinois. Saturday night, March 26th at 7 p.m. Apostle Linda C. Sherrill, International Deliverance Church Ministry, Chicago, Illinois. Sunday, March 27th at 11 a.m. It's Celebratory Reflection with Dr. LaRon Matthews and the Restoration Family. For more information, call 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027. The Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries 8-Year Church Celebration, March 25th through 27th, 2022. Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Amen. God bless the people who got onto us. You know something, Apostle Simmons and Lady Simmons, I just went back to something. You know, actually, the conference I taught on the What's Love Conference, Empowerment Conference 2, 2022, really shifted my life. Even in the conference I was teaching, it really shifted my life because it made me reevaluate myself. Even in the area of going through the divorce, you know, multiple children with different women, it made me reevaluate my relationship from a natural perspective. But I always had the spiritual perspective down, and a lot of people got the spiritual area down, but the natural area that became the definition of life. And from out of that, said something, and God brought it back to my attention when I was traveling. Because over the last several days and weeks, I began to almost like go back to allowing Mother Sidney, the old religious system, the people try to influence the impact of who I am in the kingdom. And I had to shake that off, Mother. And so I went back to some of my notes, and the notes were, I went back to the teaching at the conference called Retroactive Love, dealing with retroactive love. And it just brought back to my heart and my mind. I'm like, man, God. He said, son, I just want you to understand that everything you lost and everything that people lost is always retroactive. I will give it back to you inside. So many people live in loss and they miss the game. Can I share this for a minute? Listen to this. So many people live in loss and they miss the game. Of life, that's the game. Not just that's the game. I'm just doing some meme out there. So many people live in law, and they miss game. Fantasia had a song called "I Have to Lose to Win," and I was listening to her song, and I was earmarking some points she said. I have to lose to win. It's about 3 minutes, almost 4 minutes, and I was listening to her. I'm like, man, wow, and how she changed her life by marrying now beautiful husband. And they open up the portals of their life relationship. Too many people cannot move past the loss to get to the pain because they don't realize and recognize that the love of God is so powerful and the love in them is so great that they rather hide it, trying to protect themselves when they really need it. Am I making sense here? We have so many people that don't really understand retroactive love. And when I was talking about it, I was dealing with the word retroactive. It literally means back pay of what you didn't get. When people don't love you, or people don't know how to love you because of what's in them, of what they don't know how to do. When you work a job, and people owe you back pay for what you've given out of your service. It's retroactive. The love of God, that's why he said it in Revelation, return to your first love. Because there is things that God will do to you and for your life that is so powerful and so great. We count it out. We discount it. We discount it. And as I was studying my memories and thinking about things, I went back to some places and spaces in my life where I said, now I have it. I got it now. I got it. It took me a while. Have you ever get to a place where you finally get it right? But the person that you got it wrong with, miss it. They can miss it because you finally got it right. And they miss it because they're looking at the wrong. They don't see the right. In our life, we don't all get it right then. It takes time. That's why I say he that endured to the end shall be saved. It takes time for people to see. It's time for people to get it, grab it, make it right. It may not be on your turn, but they're going to get it. They're going to get it. And I'm telling you, once they get it, man, you can't take it away from them because they got it. Man, they have it now. And I was sitting there, I was writing some notes down, jotting some things down. Man, when you get it, man, you can't let that. I was sharing with a person, and I could be kind of authentic about this, something in my past. I had to be honest with the person. That door is closed. I can't. That door is closed. And all kinds of stuff. I can't. I got it now. Y'all better hear me today. What is the message? Him or her. I got it. Really, when you get it, man, that's a whole area of life. When you get it, it may take a while. But when you get it this time, don't look back. And it's certain things, when we were at the conference, dealing with the retroactive love, it was so many powerful things that we were sharing with the audience. It was really private. We had about 60-plus people in there. It was private, shut to the people. And it was the authenticity of things that was dealing with what was lost, what was transpired, what happened, to move the people. And I dealt with the part, your sound create a symphony. And from that symphony become the organs of harmony for your life that will follow a rhythm of greatness. So it allows you to dance into your future with the power and authority because of the changes. We can't allow our pain to define our love. We have to allow his purpose by destiny to do that so destiny can have meaning for our life. It's so many powerful things that God wants to do from this place and in this place. So sometimes you have to lose the game. And I never understood that. And my elder was talking yesterday, and we were sharing. My elder got some powerful connections in different areas. I thank God for that. And we were sharing that we were out eating some dinner. And I was kind of silent. Everybody kind of wondered why I was silent. Because I was, you know, while I'm writing in my mind, I write in my mind before I write on paper, and I write in my mind. And I was thinking about my earlier morning, the early morning when I left, my early morning. And I took a defining moment. You know how you love somebody and you define that moment with that person and you love them. And you look at the person and you love them. And you don't lose a moment because at any moment people can leave the earth. They can leave your life. And you hold on to what you have. You use that moment and you lock it in because you don't know what life will do. People walk out of the door, they're gone. People that fall on the sidewalk, they're gone. They're like, you define a moment. And in that defining moment, you don't let things disturb you. People would share with me, and I'm like, wow, I had to lock it in for a minute. I said, wow. And then it made me hold on to a moment. I'm like, man. So no matter what you do in life, you're going to always have people who are going to try to defy your love for other people. But you have to still move with the defining moment. I found them. Because retroactive means you're going to all get it back. Whether you're with that person or you're with somebody else in life, you're going to get it back. Johnny knows now. This is so good. One of my books, my second book is already done. My third book is in the process. Then I'm knocking on the door of another book. I'll try to do it at one time, another city. Then I thought about the one. I got to pick up what we talked about at that conference. And I said, I got to make that a book right there. Retroactive love. I got to make that a book right there. That's from 2019. People, it's a setup. Your 2020, the obituary. Your 2021, the mental illness, the challenge, the fight for 2022. Get in. We got to get it all back. I mean, we got to get everything that was taken from us back in some. Got to get it all back. Can't lose it. Damn. And I said, man. I was telling the Lord, and this is so funny. I was telling the Lord, the elder and I both said, I'm playing together. I was telling the Lord, hey, you know, this is funny. This white lady was sitting next to us. See, I guess she was excited about two black guys sitting next to us. She's been all in this just talking about it. They were listening to that. I said, well, Ellie, yeah, go ahead and talk. You go ahead and talk. I'm going to sleep. She won't talk more than me. This elder. I said, well, no, y'all go ahead and talk about me. Man, as the Lord, an epiphany I had, and it's so powerful. You don't realize what you have in you until you tap into who you are in the kingdom. And then you recognize the greatness of what you have in your life. And it comes to the surface and powerful things begin to come from that place and it's birth. And so at this specific critical time, so many things are being birthed from this place. And it's so powerful, Mother said, it's so powerful thing. I'm saying, man, mindset, thinking, viewpoint. Like, no matter what happened now in life, I'm okay because
I define this persona. And I'm like, wow, this is a powerful place. My relationship is not predicated on what people think or do or say. That's what I give. What I give. We're in a powerful time in the earth realm. I told you I entered into this month. Then. And we're the 24th day, man. I tell you, I have entered into it. I ain't looking back. I'm like, man, this is it. This is it. And don't worry about what people say or do. This is it. I said, all right, we're moving with this one. Hey, when I think about what people say or do, or people who they with, what they want to be with, what they want to do, I said, man, you know what? People going to do what they want to do. Let your active love. It's a powerful thing to be able to have it and to do what we're doing, the impact. So it kind of shifted me in the ministry environment. We were talking about, you know, statistically audience and the people we deal with and view and so the people read the book or don't read the book or people hear the audience. I said, man, God. This is a whole different time. It's a whole different powerful time of what you're doing, God, in the earth and air and in the world for us. And I thank God for the turning point. I thank God to reach this place, this turning point, because my view is so different now. And if I have to go alone, I'm okay with that. If I go with somebody, I'm okay with that too. But I have the power to understand where God is taking us. But I have to move from that place. It's very powerful. And what God is doing in the earth now, Father, what he's doing in the destiny-driven time. And I'm very excited what he's putting together. I was looking at the word retroactive, because I went over some notes and I fell back on some notes and reading that. And I was looking at the Greek word for retroactive. Atalaso. It means to reconcile, change, or exchange. Kata means to come down to the exact point. Now watch this, y'all. I mean, come down to the exact point. Then I connected to 1 Corinthians 13 and 10. When that which is perfect is done, when that which is in part is done away, then that which perfect, and perfect comes. So when you're tired of being part of something, then the whole come into place. And this word kata means coming down to the exact point. At the turning point, you have to make a choice or a decision at that critical road in life. It's a turning point. And at that turning point, you're going to lose or you're going to gain people. Now watch this now. You're going to either lose or gain them at the turning point. Because at the turning point, you have addressed all those things. You've been there. You're not going any further. You're not going to link any. You're not going any further. You let them know where you're at. The turning point. I remember, I could share this with the saints. Before I made my final decision, Apostle Simmons, Lady Simmons, before I made my final decision to go through with the divorce,
Then my ex was separated. And I said to her, these were my words. I said, such and such. I don't want to hurt no more. Now listen to this. I said, I don't want to hurt no more. I want to debate no more. I don't want to argue. I don't want to go through all this no more. I said, I want to do what it needs to be done. What do it take to save our marriage? I want to do this. I don't want to act and pretend. This is where I'm at, the crossroads. And I said, maybe she didn't hear me. She probably didn't hear nothing I said from me. Place. I said, I'm at this place. I'm not going to pretend anymore because, you know, you got saved people in marriage, somebody in the bedroom, somebody in the living room, somebody in the couch, and, you know, you do it for the people. I said, I'm not doing nothing for no people. I'm not going to pretend anymore. I said, I'm all in. I'm not going to pretend. I have to make it up. I listen to this. I can share this. He said, well, you got to hear what I said. Well, maybe she didn't hear me. Maybe it was something that was going on with her at that time. But, let's just do it for the people. Maybe she didn't hear what I just said. I said, about these people. I'm not going to act anymore. Maybe she didn't get out there. So from that place, I refuse to be real and live a real life pretending. Can't do it. Because I'm all in, all out. I'm not a border control person. Down on the border. Because you can't live this be real. I can't act being real. So most active in the latter years, they deal with certain issues because they live out of screen in the real world. So when they play a world, when they become in the real world, people look at them as that actor. And that's not their name. That's their real name, but they became an actor to the people. That's people know them for their stage name. I'm not going to live a stage name when I'm in the real world. You have to be who God, and I think Matthew mentioned that, you have to be who God called you to be. So I said, you know what? I said, all right, maybe you didn't understand me, but I'm out. That's what that day I said, you know what, that day, I said, I'm out. I'm not gonna live a marriage pretending. I'm out. That's it. Because you in the world, you can't pretend that there's no happiness. I can't live in a fantasy world. Some people want to do that. Some people want to live a church world fantasy. I can't do it. That's not in my mathematical problem. I can't live. You have to know what you want and know what you know in the kingdom, because it's not predicated on acting and pretending. It requires more. Amen. It requires more things. More than acting. And from that place, that book was written. Kind of a big thing, being raising a man, and other things are happening. I said, nah, can't do that. Yeah, I said, no, I won't do that. I said, no, I won't do that, because you have to know what you know about God and what you want in life, and go with that. Amen. I can't live in a fantasy island. I was back in '77, the midget and the lady and whatever his name is on that island. I can't play on the love boat. I was back in the 77. So, during a real time, in a real world, you don't have all of those luxuries now. And get all those luxuries. I'm going to enjoy my ladder. Enjoy my ladder. My ladder will be greater than my 4 days going back to all of that. Amen. All right, thank you, God. Well, we bless the Lord today. We give everybody questions. If you have questions or comments, statements, we thank God for you all on today. Thank you. My co-host, Evangelist Fit, Sydney. We thank God for you. Another Sydney on today. Lord Jesus, I just appreciate my co-host. The first part was you all. I sat back and said, man, I'm grabbing the nuggets and gathering the data on today. We bless. Thank you. Okay, just for sharing that today. Thank you, God. 8 year celebration begin tomorrow night. Bishop Matthews will be ministering the word of the Lord God. My dad will be coming in. Saturday morning workshops. If you're in the neighborhood, come on down and join us. Be part of it. If you fly in, fly on in. Get you one of those spirit flights and come on in and let the spirit hit you. Jump back on the spirit flight with your one-legged bag and head on back home. We'd love to have you to be there with us. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. Thanking God for all that he's doing for the people of God on today. It's such a blessing to connect with so many of you. I'm excited to you all, and I thank God for the people of God on today. All that he's doing for us and us and through. God is good to us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm working on a message this week that God has given me. Bless the people of God. It's going to be a blessing for God's people over the week. On today. Mother Thelma Sydney, my co-host, we just bless the Lord for you on today and the release of the oil on today from you all. In the first part, man, that's powerful what you guys shared. And I was in it. Like, I said, let me sit back and grab the nuggets. I was grabbing nuggets today, mother. I said, this is all right. Let me pick up all this. Let me bless the Lord. Heal people. We're going to be in here. We thank God for the healing. And the great gift that some of you are on today. Lord is good. Thank you, Apostle Simmons, for sharing that today. Releasing that man of God. Thank you, Lord, today. Today is an awesome day in the Lord, and we thank God for it. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Thank you. Although we thank God for you.
Amen.
Anyone else would like to say something? If you've been sitting in the background and something that the Lord has touched you, we want to give you the opportunity. This coming into our 8 year celebration, our 8 year in the beginning, 8 year new beginning here. Actually, Restoration was established in 2003. We transitioned away for a while, but we came back. So we've been strong in it for the last 8 years. If we break it down statistically, we're in the 19th year of actual ministry, but in our comeback, the last 8 years of it. So we thank God for it. And thank God for those who brought ads to the ad broker, those who been a blessing to us. We thank you all so much. I appreciate you so greatly. You all mean a lot to me. I do. I thank God for you all today. I thank you all so much for who you are. Thank you, God. We appreciate that. On to that. Amen. Amen. Thank God for it. And the book is coming. I made some major changes to it. And then some people came in and changed some of my languages. Now I had to go back and change the language. I had to change the language. No, that's what I was trying to say. Anybody who's in writing books, people that they'll change your wording so I can go back and change the wording to what the original wording I originally said. no, this is what I was saying. I had to tell him, no, this is what I was saying. That's the original word. That's the way I was trying to say it. Yeah. When you have people who make a book ready, they got to make a book ready. So, okay, so I appreciate it. Make it book ready. But keep the authenticity of it. Keep the authentic part of it. When you're writing it, don't take away from that part. That's the juice of the message. That's the juice of it. I need that in there. You took that out. You look for it's better. No. I want that in there. That's me taking it.
Uh huh.
I know you want that in there. But mother, I better say no. That's me. I need that part in there. That's explaining me. Oh, okay. Yeah, put that back in there. That's how people identify me with that in there.
Uh-huh.
And that's authentic in wisdom. I need them to see that. And then you have to change it because sometimes people put a word in there, make it feel for them. No, you don't have that experience. That's my wisdom. Put that back in there.
Right.
So I'm going to e-save myself. I'm going through these 118 pages and myself. I said, No. I had to go through that. I had to change that. No. What are they doing?
The original.
No, put that back in there.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell her, I said, no, I need that back in there. So when you mention yourself, man, don't take my identity away in there. I know you're trying to help me, but come on. Put that back in there. They said, okay, we'll go, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, how did that sound? Okay, that's me. It makes sense.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
David couldn't put on Saul armor. I can't wear your stuff.
Right.
I gotta use a slingshot. I gotta use my best shot. I can't use your armor in my book. Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me go with what I got. This is
how
I am.
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Yeah. Okay, I did not. I got my book on delay almost another month because I'm going in there taking this. That's supposed to have a comma there, mother. Why you put a period there? Well, we just wanted to end that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go help somebody. That's y'all doing.
That's right. That's
what you're doing.
Come on. Come on.
I can't let that go to the press, you know, it's so funny, somebody said, well, we're going to go get it to the press, no, let me see it, well, we thought you,
I
no,
know
let me see it,
right.
I had to get it, I'm looking through it, I said, wait a minute, hold on, who put that in there?
You know how I get
funny, I was, wait a minute, hold on. No. Wait a minute. You didn't change. Go back. Oh, it's gone. You're going to delay another month. And then you know how people try to push you because they want you to feel like, man, they need to get out. I said, I tell you what, if they get out in June, it's going to get out in June. We ain't putting this on there. I need this thing here. We're going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going back and change the money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that I'm going, man, what are you doing? I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you gotta make sure when you're doing stuff, make sure it's exactly what you said and it means that the meaning come out. So be mad and lie. It should be in the bar for you all.
Yes, sir. Special man of God to your mother again. Man, you said you released some powerful stuff, man. I was catching revelation while you were sharing, then I heard you say something about 19 years of ministry, originally, and then you're talking about your book of how things were shifting and how you needed to get back to the originality of it. A lot of times they put things on pause or it would slow it down or hinder it, even so it is in the kingdom, and that's what many people have done. They have took out what God said and shifted it. Mm-hmm. But going back to you, man of God, concerning your ministry, even as God was revealing to me, You, even though you're celebrating 8 years, new beginnings, but in the 19th, God showed me it takes one to do the birthing, because one, that's God. Then nine is the birthing. So, man of God, I just can, just celebrating all of what God is doing in and through you, man of God. I just say continue to stay the course, because people will try to shift you from the vision. They will shift you from what God is giving you, and you know what God is giving you, even if you got to move people out of the way, take it back to the original plan that he has orchestrated and ordained. Sometimes it seems like it becomes frustrating. I heard Dr. Wilkes on Saturday saying certain things about how certain things the enemy will attack. But God always has a way, man, and that's why it has to be his way.
Yeah.
I love God's way. His way, I mean, it's powerful. So, man of God, just be encouraging. I would say to you to encourage the people, how do you do it even when your ministry is sabotaged, even when your ministry seems like it's set back 5, 10 years, then God allow you to bounce back? That's the turning point you've been talking about. But what would you say to the people, young ministry, young men and women of God in ministry, to that place when things happen and shift them? What would you say to encourage them to stay the course, stay the course? What would you say to them to encourage them to where God has brought you at this point in time in your life and ministry?
Wow, that's powerful. I'm like, you know, sorry you said it.
Hey, Prophet, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I just to confirm.
Go ahead.
Just to confirm what Prophet Simmons was just saying, I'm just going to break your code a little bit. Today is 3:24, right? And you talked about the codes, right? You had 3, 2, and 4. That equals 9. I just thought about that. And then I thought about it. You said something earlier. You said, can't nobody tell your story like you can. Can't nobody tell your story like you. So the details, years ago, Brian Keith Williams preached the message at a church that I was going to, that I was a part of. And he preached the message on the details make the difference. It's the details that make the difference. And everything that you say, you know, in your book and everything that you do with the way God tells you to do it, that's your authenticity, if I said it right, okay? That's your originality. Okay, and I'm so grateful that you're talking about this, because when you said just now about David, he could not wear the armor that everybody was trying to put on him to fight Goliath. Mm-hmm. David was skillful with the slingshot anointing, you know, in his faith with God, you know, and they trying to put on some other armor, you know. I mean, God wants he wants original. He wants us to be. He has uniquely made us. Okay, you know, and I appreciate what the way God made you. I appreciate how God has used you in your originality. I don't care if you got flaws, whatever. You belong to God. You belong to God. You're God's property. Bottom line, the devil can't touch you. Bottom line, see, it's a done deal.
I receive that. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Be encouraged, Prophet. Be encouraged. The Lord just wants you to be encouraged, Prophet. Seriously, God wants you to continue to be encouraged. He does not want you to back up. When he put the mark that's on your life, it's all about destiny and all about God's purpose. He wants you to just keep looking up and living. Keep drawing from the fountain of the living waters. Keep drawing from his presence, because God is feeding you. Nobody else can feed you like God can.